Have you been searching for the best ticket deals around? Well, look no further. With TixFlix, the price you see is the price you pay. And TixFlix just happens to have over $6 billion in ticket inventory just waiting for you. They absolutely mean it when they say every ticket, every venue, everywhere. And you can save even more with promo code PULSE in all caps to save you 5% off your total purchase. Just go to TixFlix.com and click the search bar. Search events based on your geographic location. Pick the show you want, and bam, it's showtime. Sporting events, Broadway shows, concerts, and more with TixFlix.com. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for the email newsletter so you can stay up to date on the latest news and savings with TixFlix. That's TixFlix.com, TixFlix.com. Every ticket, every venue, everywhere.
Welcome to the continued podcast adventures of Superhero Speak.
But I think many of the people that love this character and that love superheroes in general have used these stories as inspiration to say, you know what? I'm going to do something good in the world. I'm going to make a difference like my hero when I was a kid.
That is my fondest memory of it, because when you're doing comic books, you want them to affect people,
right?
You want people to care. You want to strike emotions. And I knew that Clone Saga was striking a lot of emotions.
Can you imagine Pulp Fiction starring Goofy and Mickey Mouse?
I can totally imagine that.
I'm sure somebody's written that one.
Quarter pounder with cheese in France, Mickey. What? Boy, ale with cheese, Mickey. Yeah. I can totally
see.
I would watch the hell out of that movie.
Yes, I gladly saw sacrifice at my progeny to you, a mighty Marvel beast.
But Neil Adams is somewhere going, it's my time.
How do you measure success?
Hey everyone, you're listening to Superhero Speak, and I'm your host Dave.
And John.
And hey! D.
Oh, okay.
I'm good.
We have a roving reporter this week. He's roving right now as we speak.
We're a little worried for JD's safety this week.
I'm good, man. I'm good. Stop. I'm good.
So then JD, how was your week since you're gotten crazy traffic?
Oh, it's fine, man. My week was pretty good. Just started wrestling practice again, so I'm just headed for
So this is off-season practice?
Off-season practice. Wrestling season never really ends. We get like two months a year that are totally off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
So you're just like, when is your next, when do you start up again, like your matches and?
We'll start this week. We'll start competing probably next week.
Oh, wow.
And we'll go all the way through July. And we'll break again until early October.
Those poor kids.
Nah, man, don't feel for my kids. My kids are good. We're good.
All right.
How are you guys?
I'm doing all right. How about you, John? Did you see any good movies lately?
I hate both of you too, by the way.
I think like you're the only one that hasn't seen it. This
I know.
This release date for Shazam is BS.
How did no one in Chicago have this available? This is driving me crazy.
That is weird, because Chicago would be one of the bigger venues, right?
You think so? I made plans with my wife before I even put in the stupid zip code in the promotional email you gave me, and then there was nothing behind me.
That's weird.
I was so upset.
Yeah. Well, besides that, I spent a few hours last week going over the source of certain words, going into Latin, and starting to vet conlangers to hire them for writing a language for the book that I'm writing.
Really?
High school.
What's that?
I took Latin in high school.
Oh, good. Homo like doctus in semper divitius habet.
I graduated 20 years ago.
Oh, okay. That's not what that means.
That's clearly because I don't know what you said.
Well, my daughter took high school in Latin. Took high school in Latin. Duh. Took Latin in high school, and she only graduated 6 years ago, and probably still wouldn't be able to.
Yeah, see, my problem is that first off, it means a learned man. How is it? A learned man has wealth within himself. But the other, it's when you're OCD and you're ADD and you're writing a book, you want like everything. You want, and you're a geek like us. I want my plot down. I have like an extra 15 pages of plot now. So I know everybody's history, where they're coming from, and then the language. And then I hit the language barrier. Now that's why I started looking at conlangers. And for people who don't know what a conlanger is, there are places where you can hire graduate students of language studies to actually create a language for you. Now, how much you spend and who you get depends on how good a language they can put together. But part of hiring them is basically putting together a huge thesis on the source of the language, the type of the society that it grew in, the societies that came before, and basically giving them enough of a history for them to put together something. And it's actually kind of a project in and of itself. But again,
why create a full language for a story that nobody is going to be able to read?
Is that a dig? I think that's
No. That's a legit question. That's not just for you. That's just in general. Like, I don't understand that. Like, I don't understand why. I don't understand the methodology behind it.
It's for the same reason that William Hartnell, the first Doctor in Doctor Who, when they first hired him and he first went up on stage and started to read lines, when they started to tell him, we'll just flip some switches, and he said, no, the kids will know which switches I flipped. And he actually made sure that he did the same sequences and the same switches for the same things during the filming the episodes back in the 60s.
Yes, but John Pertwee came up with reverse the polarity because he couldn't remember all the techno gabble they made him speak.
Yeah, well, okay. So there's always a bad apple. But anyway, so it's just, you know, first off, it makes it easier for me to write it because I don't just, I might not, you know, go from one book to another and put some stuff that you know, have it said one way in one place, one play in another, and it doesn't make any sense.
Fair enough.
And the other is, you know, because, you know, you never know, right? And I'd rather have a full language down first.
Plus, so when it appears in your book, is it going to be the language? Are you going to have it translated? Are you going to have like is this language actually appear in the context of the book? I don't know how this works.
Well, no, like, think of Lord of the Rings. I mean, basically, that's like the ultimate standard, right? So
never,
you'll see.
Never read Lord of the Rings.
Dave, we have other candidates, right?
That's a little late for that.
I've been out for like 18 months at this point.
So like certain passages may be in the other language just to lend it authenticity, but, you know, you can't do that. It's not like I'm going to write half a page of you know, the language and then a half a page of translation.
I mean, they'll have something, they'll say two characters are talking in Elvish and they'll have it in Elvish and then they'll have the translation like right after it, you know.
Or you know, you get your character, your Bob, the guy who forces exposition, right? You'll get the character who doesn't know the language and somebody says something to him and he'll look over at the guy next to him and say, so what does that mean? And you know, it's that kind of thing. So, but it lends the whole process authenticity. And since I'm planning more than just one book, you got to get it down.
Fair enough.
And I'm really, really OCD.
And we can always count on you, John, to take this podcast to full nerd.
Thank you. Now, I'm just going to sit here and have a swig of Tolmir Dew while you tell us how you were doing.
Well, I had an interesting week. So, you guys might remember near the end of last year, there was a podcast that we used to be in another podcast network.
Why are we still talking about this?
Well, cause listen, let me tell you the story and you'll hear.
Is this like YouTube? Is there like a 1.5 speed that I can put this?
I was thinking this is more like the beginning of like the Beat It music video. the two gangs are going to war. Continue.
So it was Potter, what did we call that? I don't even remember. Oh, Nerd Podcast Mafia.
Podcast Mafia, right?
Thank you, yes. So, and one of the other podcasts in the Nerd Podcast Mafia bashed us on an episode. Like really bad. The main guy from the podcast, the guy who started it and everything, he called us, you know, cursed about us and called us the derogatory word for homosexual people that starts with an F. And
for real?
Oh yeah. Like
thanks for listening, champ. Appreciate the download.
So the funny thing about this is that was their last episode. Like they put this out and then they never posted another episode again, right?
Well, if you're going to go out, you're going to go out with a bang, right?
So, and then like, I haven't thought about this podcast or these people in a long time. And again, I did, when they did this, I blocked them on social media. So I get we got a message on our Twitter, from one of this guy's cohorts saying he starts this guy who bashed us is now starting a new podcast and asked us if we would record something for his new podcast.
Yes. Here, suck my balls. That's my
it was just like, well, at first I'm like, is this a joke? You know, like what's the setup here? You know? And he comes back and goes, oh yeah, no, this is going to be really funny. And I was like,
no, it's not.
I was just like, yeah, no, we'll pass, right? Because I don't want to give this guy fodder to just make fun of us again.
You don't give oxygen to a dumpster fire.
Exactly. So, and then, you know, he's like, you didn't even hear it out. And I'm like, I just blocked the guy at that point. But it was just like really the balls of this person to send one of his cohorts to contact us and ask to record something for his new show. Like, oh, it's the reason where we dropped out of the mafia, and it's the reason it doesn't exist anymore. So.
It's a severe lack of situational awareness.
Yes. It's almost like, what's the guy from The Office? Steve Carell's character. Michael Scott.
I didn't watch The Office.
Okay. It's almost Michael Scott on a non-situational awareness level.
So then. There's a phrase in pro wrestling that says controversy creates cash, and that if you have a personal issue, people will pay attention. I think that's probably all this is.
Oh, no, definitely it's why this person does it. It's why he tries to create controversy, because he thinks it equals downloads. But when you only have 20 people following you on Twitter and two downloads a week and you're one of them, like...
Well, also, if you listen to like Philip DeFranco these days, or a lot of the old school YouTubers, a lot of them started off by, you know, just saying whatever controversial thing came to mind at the time to drum up views. And now they're all freaking regretting it. I mean, all of them, even Philip DeFranco, will every once in a while, he'll be doing some story that brings up his past and he'll say, look, you know, I used to do this too and I regret it like you would not believe.
Oh,
and,
yeah. You know, he talks about clickbaiting with the thumbnails and he was really bad with that, you know.
Yeah, but it was more over the, you know, the things that he said.
Oh,
that,
no, yeah.
These days are just, no, it's just not worth it, guys.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, if this person is still listening to our show, like, dude, that was a dick move. Really? Send one of your cohorts to ask us to do something for your new show? Like, first you curse us out, and then months later try to say, oh, help me out? Like, just go pound sand somewhere.
Okay. Let's go on to something.
All right, let's go on to something fun. So let's talk a little bit about social media. And people may have noticed on our Instagram feed and our Facebook and Twitter.
I thought you said we were going to do something fun. Now we're talking about Instagram? That doesn't help.
There was a lot of pictures posted this past weekend from C2E2. And I got quite a few people asking me if we were at C2E2 this weekend. We weren't there, were we?
I wish. I would have gotten to see the Channel Awesome guys, which, you know, I've always wanted to meet the Cinema Snob, but.
So as I talked about this a while ago, Jesse, who writes reviews for the website, who lives in the Chicago area, asked if he could go to the, if we would get a press pass for him. And we did. And he, went to the show, took a lot of pictures, sent them to us. He also sent a summary of some of the news, and he's going to do a nice big write-up for the website this week. And then he's going to come on next week during our 300th episode to talk about it and talk about being part of Superhero Speak. So.
Sweet. That's right. There's more of us now.
Yes. Unfortunately.
Depends on your point of view, but.
So yeah, I mean, definitely keep a lookout for that stuff. If you're not following us on Instagram, we're at Superhero Speak, and yeah, take a look and keep an eye out for that, summary from C2E2 coming someday, probably tomorrow. So, and speaking of social media, we gotta talk a little social media madness this week. We talked about the Matt Reeves Batman movie. Bat Reeves.
That's about right.
That could have legs. Like Batfleck has legs. Bat Reeves could have legs.
Oh God. I don't want to create a monster. So some of the comments.
Well, if it doesn't have legs, it would be a monster. I mean, yeah. So you have to rely solely on your grappling hook. And sorry, go ahead.
So some of the comments we got. Gateway Comics said, "Oh, because we had talked about." I had said something about there not being enough time to define. They're announcing a release date without having a star, you know, stuff that DC's been doing for a while.
And it works so well.
Oh, yeah. Gateway Comics says that gives them several months to find someone. Or maybe it means they already have someone and they just aren't saying. Could be. Because
that's how Hollywood works.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Cameron Khan said, they've made it clear bats will be young, but if they decide to go older bats, John Hamm. I'm just saying, I really want John Hamm to be the next Batman.
Do we want all of the talk about the Batman movie to be about the codpiece?
Oh.
Again,
exactly.
Are those rumors true?
Oh, Batwing!
Yes, we're back. Oh, God. Everything old is stupid again.
Oh my God. No! No, Batwang! No! Sid, who's at BatFonz, so I guess that makes him cool twice. Batman is the star. I'd rather they had an unknown actor but went deep cuts with the story and style. Why retread old ground? So, that's an interesting, to me, that's an interesting take, because it's like, I get it, this, it's a Batman story, but, like, I don't know, I think that's a role that does take gravitas. Am I wrong?
I'm not opposed to casting an unknown. I have this idea that, like, sometimes the superstar overshadows the role.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I need, like, a star, but, like, we joked about Batfleck, like, it was hard for a Bat not to be Ben Affleck in the Bat suit.
Right.
You know?
No, that's true. But what was I going to say? We could always ask Clooney to come back.
Don't think he will. He's kind of enjoying being married, from what I understand.
You know, he was actually a really good choice to play Batman. He just had the wrong material and direction to work with.
Yeah. And then, Fan Man Podcast said, no need to rush it. So yeah, I'm with them. But we'll get into that a little bit more. Oh, wait. I think I had one more on Batman. Come on. Sorry.
Do we need another Batman? We've already got three Jokers. Do we need another Batman?
Oh, yeah. We'll get to that in a second. Yes. Here we go. Bob Foster, one of our favorite contributors. My honest opinion, I think that Warner's DC should reconsider latest decision to only concentrate on standalone projects and reboot entire DCEU, maybe spare Wonder Woman.
Well, they could do a Final Crisis, and they could have the Final Crisis from the DC TV universe actually affect the EU.
Interesting.
That'd be a terrible idea for a movie.
I'm not saying it would be a movie. I'm just saying that they could use that to wipe out the rest of the movie universe.
But if Kevin Sugihara's penis has wiped it out, it seems like.
Oh, jeez.
You're on fire tonight.
You got that adrenaline going. Just got out of practice feeling good.
So we also had talked about James Gunn returning to the Marvel Universe to finish up the Guardians of the Galaxy trilogy.
There really is justice. I'm so happy for that.
This is funny because this is Lillian Hsu. She's at LSU23. She starts a lot of great conversations on Twitter, but because she never has directly responded to one of our things before, I haven't mentioned her before. So,
okay.
But she said, happy to see him back and hoping that we can all move forward with production now. 20th Century Geek Pod, I'm so glad he gets to complete this trilogy. I think that it's going to come after Suicide Squad, so probably not until 2022 at the earliest. What do you, okay, and then she responded, possibly it'll be more than difficult to do them concurrently.
Well, they did like screw up the order of the next phase, right?
Right. But here's the thing, right? Somebody had pointed this out on another podcast. Suicide Squad, they don't have a script yet and they don't even really have a confirmed cast yet.
But they've got a new Batman.
But Guardians, they have the script. They have, a lot of the cast returning. So is it possible they would flip it and you'd get Guardians first?
Right. But it'd be a matter of scheduling, right?
It is. I mean, like a lot of times directors will have several things greenlit at once because just because you have a green light doesn't mean it's really going to move forward. Like there's so many various stages of production and the Marvel machine moves way more effectively than the DC. Steamboat rules or steam engine, we'll say. So it wouldn't surprise me if they had the DC one come out after.
Huh. Yeah, I at this point it wouldn't shock you. I will have to keep our eyes open and see if they start announcing casts for Suicide Squad. So we talked about Grant Morrison and Ezra Miller teaming up to write a Flash script, right? We got a lot of interesting feedback on this. So Diversity and Cecil, he had said hard pass on anything that A-hole is involved with.
And what?
So I replied, query, who are you referring to, Miller or Morrison? And, you know, he replied to me, are you kidding? And it was, and with a picture of, Ezra Miller. Which shocked me because I didn't like, I know people don't like Grant Morrison. You know, people have an issue with some of the stuff that he's written.
Philistines.
But yeah, this is like interesting. And then we had Chris Kent chime in. I hate Morrison. In an interview, he talked about how if he was Bruce Wayne, he'd blow all his money on hookers and drugs and not give a crap about the people being murdered in Gotham City. Not the kind of guy I wish to associate with. But I think that's a more realistic take on what a rich person would do once they lost their parents, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. That is Morrison's interesting way of saying what a paragon Batman truly is. Because most people with that kind of money and power would do that. And he's using himself in a self-deprecating manner. I mean, this is the guy who goes to Kathmandu and talks to aliens, though. So
it's Grant Morrison. Exactly. Vince Ross said, I'm pretty sure that it's the same guy. Let me check Scopes. Confirmed. Which I think he meant Snopes as a joke. I don't know. I don't think they're the same guy. And then finally, Scone Pelican. I love Morrison, but I agree. Get a new Flash. Interesting. Like, I didn't realize people hated Ezra Miller. Oh, wait, there's a couple more replies. I'm sorry.
I never hated him, but he was not great.
I think he played The Flash a lot differently than I've ever seen Barry Allen ever written, and certainly different than Grant Gustin plays him. I don't know if I ever hated him, though. Is there something else that he's done or said that I'm not aware of?
No, I mean, that's the thing. I don't know why people aren't liking Ezra Miller. John Holmes asked, I would like to know if that experience, what experience he has in writing also is going to keep it canon Flash, or let's make it all about Ezra and how I struggled in life Flash.
Well, I don't know. I know two actors that didn't have much writing experience that have an Oscar for writing a woe is me life story.
Yes. You know. Matheson, my best subject. Math isn't my best subject. Wow.
Oh my God, Dave. I'm the one that's drinking here. I mean,
said,
no, that one's a tough one. This is a tough Twitter handle. That was a hard one to read. I'm with you on that one.
Because math and isn't were squeezed together. I don't care at this point. And Black Angus reviews, can we just not? LOL. Okay. And then Polly. Poor brain, there's only one name in that tweet that matters as far as writing goes. Okay. I guess there's like a lot of, I didn't know, there's a lot of hate for Ezra Miller. Like, and I think it's because of what they did to the portrayal of the Flash is my guess. People didn't seem to like it, but is that Ezra Miller's fault? Or is that the material that he was given again? You know?
So, while you're at that subject, I'm going to dovetail this into a comment that came out today from one Zack Snyder that went something along the lines of people should grow up because they complained about Batman killing people.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to, any issue with Justice League or anything to do with this universe should be laid at the feet of one Zack Snyder.
Yeah.
And then set on fire.
I cannot argue with that. Like, his take is, it really hurt them and set them back. And why they kept letting him do it is beyond me. The movies were making money because they were DC movies and people wanted to go see those characters on the big screen.
And they could have made a lot more.
It could have made a lot more. The opening weekends were great because the man makes an amazing trailer. But right. Then you like see his characters and you go, ugh. And then you see Superman breaking necks and murdering people.
Yeah, but that's the problem. The whole movie is a bunch of trailers just strung together.
It does feel like that in a lot of his movies.
Mm-hmm, 'cause he's not a great writer. Like, story's not really his thing. Like, I hate to be this guy, but I mean, like, he's a guy who read Watchmen and thought, man, Rorschach is cool. Like, you're not supposed to think that. Like, I just don't think that, like, the subtlety of, and DC superheroes really aren't the most subtle thing in the world, but it seems like, that stuff like was lost on him a little bit.
Oh, and another thing I heard dovetailing on this a little bit, and I haven't looked it up to confirm it, but I heard one of the reasons that they're pushing the script now, getting the script written, is apparently Ezra Miller's contract expires in May if there isn't something in production for the movie.
So Grant Morrison's making money, basically. Good for him.
Well, okay then.
Yeah, I mean that is a kind of a tight line deadline to get a good script done. So
no, you can get us. I mean, May. That's only 2 months. If you work really hard and you have a good outline to work from, you can knock a script out.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't Jaws written in a weekend or something like that? I mean, it can be done.
Well, yeah, but for a good writer, you could do that. I mean,
Grant Morrison is a good writer. Yeah, is this going to be a good script? I would lean toward no, but, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, he could sneeze and have a really good idea and a day later have a, you know, an Oscar script.
So. I mean, the man, I mean, like, I know some of Morrison's takes aren't for everyone, but the man is an amazing idea guy. How that translates to film, I don't know. I mean, character moments really aren't his strong suit. But, I don't know. I do kind of want to read this thing when it's done.
I mean, the thing is, like, a lot of people complain about him, but it's like, a lot of people like Damian Wayne, and that was him.
Yeah. He's had a lot of good contributions to comics, to the DC lore in general.
Mm-hmm.
Like a lot of stuff we associate with the fourth world, some of it was like filtered through the Grant Morrison prism, you know? Like, man's genius. He's weird, but he's genius.
Yes. And then our final thing was, I wanted to share, somebody had tweeted to us about our Nerd Madness, competition.
Yeah.
And it's, of course, one of your favorite, handles, JD. Take a Knee for Marvel versus DC.
Good dudes.
They said, I think the show, I listened to the show and I'm still kind of in shock over Aquaman over Deadpool 2.
Hmm.
But Solo over Mission Impossible is crazy too. LOL.
The people spoke. The people have spoken. When you put power to the people, sometimes people do things that make you go, really? But.
Well, they're kind of speaking in a slur right now after an all night bender, so.
So, speaking of Nerd Madness, why don't we talk about some more results? So the round one TV results are in, and since that was my category, I will share them with the people. We had Walking Dead versus Iron Fist, and Iron Fist takes it at 58% over 42%. The second matchup was Supergirl versus Legends of Tomorrow. Legends of Tomorrow trounces Supergirl at 71% to 29%.
Crazy upsets in the TV regional.
That was not much of an upset.
According to the seating, though, it was.
Yeah.
Pure on seats. Pure seats.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. versus The Punisher. That was a close one. Punisher took it 55 to 45%. Gotham versus Preacher. This one shocked me because everyone I know that still watches Gotham loves it. But it was Gotham 39 and Preacher 61. So
Preacher's a better series overall.
But you have to love Gotham to still be watching it at this point.
And you have to have the stomach in order to handle Preacher.
and then you've got...
Same difference, actually, there.
And then Luke Cage over Black Lightning, 76 to 24%. Luke Cage destroyed Black Lightning.
Again, if you get rid of the second season, then yes, I understand this. But with the second season,
yeah.
I'm willing to bet people weren't taking the second season of Luke Cage into consideration when voting.
Yeah. We had matchup six was The Gifted versus American Gods. American Gods took it 73 to 27.
It's done very well.
Then this one, like, I didn't realize these guys were matching up based on the seeding until you sent me the chart. And it was like, oh, Arrow versus The Flash.
And we already know how that goes. They did that in the shows.
And Flash takes it 61 to 39%. And
then, I think that just factors in how the time has really run out on Arrow.
Yeah. And then Daredevil versus Deadly Class. Daredevil, 91% to 9%. So,
we say in sports, that's an ass whooping.
Yes. So,
have you guys watched Deadly Class?
Yes, it's a really good show.
Yeah.
And I think this is what I'm taking from this, and this I'm saying this to our listeners right now. You guys aren't watching Deadly Class,
but you should.
Sci-fi. You should watch it. It is really good.
Yeah. The only reason Daredevil won this is because. Man, did they really put out three good seasons.
Yeah. All right, so round two will be Iron Fist versus Legends of Tomorrow, The Punisher versus Preacher, Luke Cage versus American Gods, and The Flash versus Daredevil.
Some interesting second round matchups.
Oh, yeah. I can't even guess, so... do you have your email in front of you so you can read the comics?
I have my email in front of me. I'm prepared.
Ah!
I'm pulled over.
All right. I get it. I'm not prepared most of the time. I guess.
That was not a dig at you. Dave dug at me before the show, and I needed to prove him wrong.
It may not have been direct, but it was in my vicinity, and that's all I need. Go ahead.
Round one of comics. The number one seed, Mr. Miracle. With a sound beating 94% to 6% over Macbeth the Red King. Not a surprise, Macbeth a great book, but Mr. Miracle largely considered the best thing in comics last year. Venom, Donny Cates' Venom specifically, over the Immortal Hulk, 56%, 44%. The best round, the best matchup in the first round, a little bit, I mean, I see this over it, but realistically, it's kind of an upset. The History of Pro Wrestling from Aubrey Sitterson over X-Men Red. X-Men Red had the early lead. I may have had Aubrey tweet some stuff to get some of his fans to respond. So they pull out.
I was going to say, dirty pool.
I play dirty pool. I will not deny it.
People were commenting on this saying like that is the hidden gem in comics.
It is my dark horse pick to win it all. I don't know if it's going to, but if it's up to me, it will. It's a great book. It really is. Aubrey did a fantastic job. If you love comics, if you like wrestling, you won't know anything about wrestling. You'll enjoy learning about the history of this incredibly interesting business. It's a great book. That won 53% to 47%. Not an upset according to Seeds, but when you really think about it, an upset. Tom King's Batman over Infidel, 78-22. Dark Knight Metal over Snagglepuss, would probably be the strangest first round matchup, 77-23. Another decent first round match, Spectacular Spider-Man, 59% to Sandman Universe, The Dreaming, 41%. Black Panther, 85% over, Claus from Grant Morrison, 15%, and Superman versus the Dark Arc. Superman wins 85-15. I think my seeds were pretty accurate for the most part, and it sets up some interesting round two matches with Mr. Miracle versus Venom. The History of Pro Wrestling takes on Tom King's Batman, Dark Knight Metal versus the Spectacular Spider-Man, and Black Panther versus Brian Bendis' Superman.
Oh, I also want to point out the Spectacular Spider-Man versus the Sandman Dreaming. It was like when I first posted that, the Sandman book got a lot of votes. And then after a couple hours, it flipped the other way. And a couple of people did comment on that one as well. So better.
It was a good first show. I mean, Neil Gaiman fans are passionate. Can't argue that.
Yes. Okay. Then we have round two movies and round two anime thus far. So, John, which one do you want to read?
No, you guys can do the movies. I know you like that, and I'll do the anime.
All right, so round two movies. We had Infinity War versus Into the Spider-Verse. Spider-Verse takes it 58-44%.
Upset City.
That's a hard one, though.
Bite me.
Well, only if I was radioactive.
That's kind of kinky.
Aquaman gets beaten by Black Panther, 62-38%.
Tough first round match.
Yeah.
For Aquaman.
No, this is second round.
Second round. Excuse me. You're right.
Number three, How to Train Your Dragon 3 versus Ant-Man and the Wasp. Ant-Man and the Wasp takes it 89-11%.
Dragon 3 made me cry, damn it. Ant-Man Wasp only made you laugh, and I don't know if that means anything, but.
You didn't cry when his whole family got turned to dust.
Come on, dude.
Please, come on. You know that's gonna work itself out.
Yeah, it's probably.
They're not dead yet. They're getting better now.
Did anyone turn to dust in How to Train Your Dragon?
Depends on how motivated that dragon was. Depends on how well trained that dragon was.
And then finally, Solo, A Star Wars Story, beats The Incredibles 2, 55-45%.
What the hell are somebody's, you people watching?
Somebody's wrong. The internet is wrong again.
Star Wars is going to win this pool, and I'm going to lose my mind. Solo was
just. God, it was such a cash grab.
But it is grabbing up the points right now.
Which leaves our two matchups for round three of movies is Into the Spider-Verse versus Black Panther and Ant-Man and the Wasp versus Solo, A Star Wars Movie.
These seeds came out weird.
I have to say Black Panther takes Spider-Verse.
No, I don't think so. I'm telling you, I'm willing to put money right now that Spider-Verse pulls out and wins this entire regional.
Shall we say a gentleman's bet of a dollar?
Let's say a gentleman's bet of one U.S. American dollar.
A dollar. Okay.
All right, John. And so we started the anime round two today, and I gave us what the results are so far. So Why don't you let the people know?
All right. So, first matchup, Thunderbolt Fantasy versus Castlevania, and Castlevania is winning handily. I think the only thing that tells us is that a hell of a lot more people need to watch Thunderbolt Fantasy before they vote. seriously. I mean, like, and Castlevania is good. I will give it to you, but Thunderbolt Fantasy is one of those things from left field that just, you know, once you see the first episode or two, you can't believe that you're actually, that it actually exists. Sword Art Online, 85%. Oh, yeah. Thunderbolt Fantasy is losing 9% to 91%. Really, really weird. Second matchup, Sword Art Online, 85% versus Mob Psycho, 15%. I think that we need to, we need to get these out more so that a lot more people know that Mob Psycho is losing to Sword Art Online, because that's a travesty. Bunny Girl Senpai, 44% to that time I was reincarnated as a slime at 56. That's not surprising, and it's actually what is surprising about that. It's actually a tough match, and but I'm not surprised that slime is winning. So I wouldn't be upset on either one of those. And then the fourth matchup is My Hero Academia at 90%, which it's kind of I don't know, that's kind of a thing these days. So versus JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, which is always going to be in the background. But My Hero Academia, like we discussed this before. There, you can actually see costumes of it, you know, cosplay all over the place at all the cons the last 2 years, actually. So, you know, I'm not surprised, and it's very, very, very popular. So I'm sure that'll probably continue to win.
I think Slime's going to win this regional because I'm going to start campaigning for it.
Oh,
I would, if I were you, I would campaign for Mob Psycho.
I just like saying that time I was reincarnated as a slime. I don't know what it is. I just really enjoy that title.
So, John, I have to let you know that I showed my son the list of anime that you picked, and he's upset with you.
Oh, why? What did I?
Because he said you picked some old stuff.
Old stuff? No,
He said some of them are old.
Yeah, but the rules were we were supposed to pick stuff that had seasons last year, right?
Yeah.
That was the rule.
Yeah, so all of these had seasons last year.
All right, well, you'll have to fight with them next time you see them.
I mean, My Hero Academia ended up halfway through, last year. So, yeah, everything, I'm sure.
When I said, wait, My Hero Academia, that's like on Cartoon Network now. He's like, yeah, the English dub.
Oh, wow, that's hardcore.
Oh, yeah, my son was really into anime.
Wow.
Is he the one that's skewing the Bunny Girl Senpai? I don't
know. No, he doesn't. He doesn't do Twitter, so.
It sounded very inappropriate.
listener, do you agree with what you've heard so far with these matchups, what's going on? If not, make sure you're following us on Twitter, @SuperheroSpeak. And look for the Nerd Madness tag so you can hashtag so you can vote on these very controversial matchups. Also, don't forget, check out our website, superheroespeak.com, for the show every week. And don't forget, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are available. And guys, I keep forgetting to tell you, we're actually on a new site called Podcoin. Have you heard of Podcoin before?
I don't think I have.
Is that like Bitcoin, but with sound?
No. So Podcoin is an app that pays you to listen to podcasts. It's the podcast player that pays.
Oh, I think we had a discussion about this a little bit offline at one point.
So all the listeners got to do is just get the Podcoin app on their iPhone or Android device. It's free and super easy to use. And you can use the Podcoin you earn to claim gift cards or donate to charity. It literally is amazing. It turns your podcast listening into charity, or you can get some Amazon or Starbucks gift cards.
Oh, neat. And it's a Bose Quiet Comfort set of headphones.
Exactly. You know, I've been using the Podcoin app myself, And it's actually really easy to use. And again, you can download it free from the App Store or Android today. And seriously, just go to the PodCoin app and you can use the code HEROSPEAK and you'll get 300 PodCoins just for signing up. And if you use that code, again, it's HEROSPEAK, it's 300 PodCoins for signing up. So go download PodCoin today. Yes, I tricked you guys into an ad.
I was going to say, we better be getting paid for this.
You're really dedicated, Dave. I didn't know you liked it so much.
Yeah, Dave went hardcore with that. I'm like, wow, he really believes
it. It is a decent app. You know, I mean, I haven't been paying attention to the getting paid part, but most of your favorite podcasts are on there as well. Also,
for real, download it.
Yeah. And then, of course, the other thing is don't forget to check out the Pulse Podcast Network, which again, we are proud members of, includes some other great podcasts like the Gorilla Brain Podcast and our friends over at So Wizard. And let's take a moment to hear a message from those guys.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is 8-Bit Ray from the Gorilla Brain Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Did you know that you could be using this spot to advertise your company or business? Well, I've done the research, and PodcastInsights.com report that podcast listeners are loyal, affluent, and mostly college-educated. But most importantly, are 5 times more likely to interact with the ad they hear on their favorite podcast than an ad from any other medium. If you would like to advertise your company or brand with our network, it's simple. All you have to do is send an email to marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com. I'll say it one more time. marketing@pulsepodcastnetwork.com, and we hope to hear from you soon.
All right, guys, now we're back. We can get into some news. Who's ready for some news? Pretend you're excited. Come on.
Yay! Hey, Dave, none of your links attached to the news, so I don't know what we're talking about.
Well, I actually just put...
Welcome to my world.
No. See, here's what you don't understand. A lot the stuff that's just text, that is came directly from Jesse. This is stuff we got from C2E2.
Oh, it's almost like it's official.
Almost.
I'm not used to official.
On this podcast, anyway.
So, one of the things that came out of C2E2 is Marvel talked about what their next big crossover event is, and it's going to be called War of Realms. It's Jason Aaron's Incredible Thor narrative will begin on April 3rd. Venom will have a big role in the series, considering... the lore built by Donny Cates' Venom run. Tie-in series will include War Scrolls, a 3-issue anthology featuring the likes of Daredevil and Howard the Duck. And War of Realms Punisher, which will showcase Frank Castle as he tries to evacuate New York with a prison bus.
That sounds awesome. It's Escape from New York with Frank Castle. Okay.
God damn, did you just sell me on that?
Yeah, I know, right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
So we're getting another big crossover event from Marvel this summer. I'm like crossover event out. Like I can't do it anymore. Am I alone in this?
No. I broke with Infinity broke me. And that was like 2014, I want to say.
Yeah.
15. And I have not picked up another crossover. Like, I bounced from Civil War all the way to Infinity, and it just, I said no more.
Oh, God, the one that broke me, I can't remember what the name of the crossover was, but it was in 1991.
Wait a minute, what?
That'd be like Extinction Agenda?
No, it was the DC, it was a DC crossover. I can't remember.
Armageddon?
Yeah, Armageddon. That's the one that destroyed me.
Oh, my goodness.
All I remember is walking into the...
You're showing your age, John.
I know. All I remember is walking in. I was in college at the time. I walked into the comic book shop. I said, "Where are the books that have to do with the Armageddon thing?" He was holding them for me, and he handed me a box. And I looked at that, and I looked at my college version wallet, and I'm like, "There's no way I could this doesn't work."
That was the miniseries where the villain was the Monarch, right? And
yes.
It was going to be Hawk, and everybody found out it was going to be Captain Atom. And then it got leaked, and it was going to be Captain Atom, so they had to, like, rush or rewrite, and it became Hawk from Hawk and Dove. That sucked.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's a good one to bow out on, actually.
Well, yeah, and there were so many issues that you had to have just to understand what the hell was going on.
You still didn't know what the hell was going on.
I don't think I was, I'm not as long as you, John. Like, and I've talked about this on the show before, like, I stopped collecting with the Clone Saga because it just got too ridiculous.
Me too.
And that's when I stopped. And then I got sucked back in with Civil War. That's when I really started collecting again. And then when we got to Dark Reign, I was like, yeah, nah, I'm done again. You know, I buy them here and there, of course, like stuff that, that really interests me. But hardcore collecting these crossovers, it's like, nah. Just give me a good Spider-Man story once a month. That's all I want.
That's it.
Yeah. Speaking of Spider-Man, the other Marvel crossover event this year will be Absolute Carnage. It will feature the return of Cletus Kasady as Carnage, and it's written by Donny Cates with art by Ryan Stegman. So, I mean, technically they haven't had a Carnage story in a while. Either of you guys interested in reading this?
No, and I like Donny Cates, and I love Spider-Man. But it gives me flashbacks to Maximum Carnage, which is when, I think I was like 12 when Maximum Carnage came out. And I should have been like prime age for that. And I just thought, I just was like, this is too much. This is getting dumb. And then the same with me, the Clone Saga made me just, I think I was off comics for like 5 years after Clone Saga.
I think it was weird because I did get swept up in the whole Maximum Carnage thing. Like they had the game that came out for the Super Nintendo and it was like, oh my God, they made a video game based on an event in the comics. I gotta play this.
Gasp. Yay.
And, but yeah, no, I'm with you.
Yeah, Carnage, I was like, Carnage is like the most 90s of comic films. Like, Venom is a badass. Carnage is 10 times the badass. I mean,
he's Venom to the extreme.
Yeah, exactly.
He's also a mass murderer, but you know. It's for the kids.
That's why he's Venom to the extreme.
Yeah. Well,
that's because you needed the they were doing the Venom baby face turn at the time where he was. Remember when they did the whole Venom was for justice thing? And it was. Again, everything is pro wrestling. They had Venom was so popular as a bad guy, they had to turn him into a good guy. And if you're going to do that, you leave a Venom sized void. So you fill it with the most amped up version of Venom possible. I got kind of stupid.
All right. And the last piece of comic book news that came out of C2E2 was Jonathan Hickman will be working on the upcoming X-Men books, House of X and Powers of X. Plot lines are yet to be revealed, but promotional art showcases past, present, and future characters.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of charts in the books.
I was going to say.
Hickman loves charts.
I was going to say, what do you think of Hickman as a writer?
I think he's on that Morrison level of genius. Like, I think that Jonathan Hickman is brilliant. I find a lot of his work to be cold, though. Like, I have a hard time connecting to it on an emotional level, but I can respect how good it is. But it doesn't land with me. It doesn't hit me in the right, personally, in the right emotional spots. That being said, X-Men is a tough franchise to get a hold of. And Hickman's really good at balancing big casts. So I'll probably check it out. I'm open-minded.
Yeah, I kind of want to see at least a teaser of the plot line, I think. You know?
It's going to be something huge, because Hickman is, he thinks very in very grandiose terms.
Right, right. Yeah, because didn't he do a S.H.I.E.L.D. run?
Yeah, he did the S.H.I.E.L.D. run. Like, he had the S.H.I.E.L.D. book, like, 10 years ago, where with Leonardo da Vinci started S.H.I.E.L.D., which is awesome. That was actually, I take that back. I really like S.H.I.E.L.D. and I really liked the Secret Warriors stuff. I thought his Avengers stuff was really big and a huge concept. But by the end, I was kind of, I just felt kind of cold about the whole thing.
Oh, and that's, he's responsible for Infinity.
Yes. Like I said, that was this miniseries that broke me.
Interesting.
It wasn't his writing. It was like, it was all the tie-ins and stuff like that. And they had to take everything. They redid the Age of Apocalypse thing where everything had to be, every book in the Marvel Universe had a different name and setting for a little while. I was like, man, I didn't want to read this. Like, and I was subscribing to like 10 different books at the time. And so I got like 5 months worth of books that weren't what I bought. And like, you're stuck with them. So it was just like, as a consumer, I was just decided to be done for a while.
Yeah. speaking of being stuck with stuff you don't want and trying to get rid of it, I got bad news for the Marvel Netflix fans.
What more could there be? All of everything is canceled.
Well, there are people who are still holding out for, oh, maybe they'll pick these shows up on Hulu or whatnot. Marvel has announced an official auction of all the props from those shows. It'll be August 1st, I believe.
Okay, I get all the alcohol from Jessica Jones.
That was already, they already drank
those,
all of that.
Those bottles are mine.
Give it a good home.
As soon as they said cut on the last episode, they opened all those bottles up.
Oh, I'm sure.
So yeah. August 1st. At Prop Store Auction Facility in Los Angeles, California. I guess this will put an end to all those rumors that possibly those shows will get returned on Hulu. What do you think?
It's not a good end.
Props are cheap.
Well, yeah, but no, I just feel like they're, you know, these weren't ended because they told a story and they were finished, or they're not ending them for any good reason. It just feels like they're just crapping on us fans, you know? It's like, sorry, it's business. Well, you know, thanks, guys. I mean, I thought you guys were in the business of actually telling stories and not just teasing us.
But they're just props. Like, any prop can be rebuilt. Props are cheap.
Was it all the, none of the props were made in Disney World or something? Or
well, I mean, like, if they restart those shows, usually you make new props anyway. Like, so they're always making new things. Like, I don't think this is anything.
Yeah, well, thinking about it, like, what, it's not like they're selling the main deck of the USS Enterprise, right? There's like nothing. What were the props? A desk, a couple of bottles, you know, maybe the.
Well, I mean, her jacket and scarf, you know, Daredevil's costume, you know, in fact, if you were looking at the pictures from C2E2, they had all their costumes, on display at the convention. And I'm kind of hoping they'll have those at least at one more show that I'm going to be at, so I can see them before they auction them off.
Yeah, but they change the costumes. You know, they always redesign them for the next season or something like that. So it's not really.
There was something else I forgot to include in this kind of related. Goddard, the guy who created the Daredevil show for Netflix, just signed a deal with Marvel to create something for Netflix, but what that is hush hush at this point.
For Netflix?
Not Netflix, for Hulu.
Or, yeah.
Yeah, it's like
probably not Daredevil, I mean, because he left Daredevil before the show where they got going.
Okay. But that caused a lot of people to jump on the, oh, look, they're going to do it over at Hulu bandwagon, so.
Okay.
Just saying, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where that goes.
I do wish we had an end. Like, I wish they could have done one more season of The Defenders, maybe like a 3-episode thing that could just kind of bookend this. Yeah. I do wish we had that.
At least something to finish off the, Iron Fist. Oh God, no, there's no way they were going to be able to finish that one. the Power Man, right?
Luke Cage.
Because you gotta show how it goes from now being a supervillain to, you know, come on.
Yeah. It's a shame.
Yeah, he really got the shaft and all that.
Ooh. Sorry, that was, you know. I got the joke.
I made a joke. I did make a joke. I wasn't trying that time.
Thinking about it? Yes, you did.
Yes. Yes. Damn, I wish I did that on purpose.
Yeah, no, that's true. And speaking of unfortunate things you can't get rid of, this was an interesting one that came out. So producers Lauren Shuler Donner and Simon Kingberg, who are the producers on the X-Men movies for Fox, apparently in their contract, as long as they make X-Men movies, they have to be listed as producers.
So does that mean the next few X-Men movies will have Donner cuts too?
No, but But even with the properties being transferred to Disney, because Fox, you know, Disney bought Fox, as long as it's their contract states, as long as they're making X-Men movies, it doesn't matter who's making them.
Sorry, we're racing trucks right now.
Yeah.
Sorry. Let me get my truck. But all that really means is that to be credited as a producer, the producer is the most general Hollywood term there is. Like,
yeah.
there's no one specific job of a producer. So many people have gotten producer credit just because. Like, that just means they're going to get a check.
Yeah. It seems like a weird, I've never heard of that. That someone could be listed as a producer forever on a...
It's like a Hollywood golden parachute.
Yes. Yeah, I want to know how you get that deal.
Be related to Richard Donner.
Damn it.
It's true.
All right.
What else we got? Anything else?
Maybe he'll adopt me. Well, that's it for Marvel news. Let's go over to DC. And we just have a couple little things related to the comics here. Apparently the big thing coming out, the two big things coming out from DC this year. Of course, this is Batman's 80th anniversary. Didn't we just celebrate his 75th like 5 years ago?
That's how time works, Dave.
Well, I'm just saying, like, they made a big deal about his 75th, and now all of a sudden it's like, ooh, it's his 80th. Like, okay, just wait till we get to his 100th.
Well, if he were alive and it was his 80th, we'd be looking for Terry Guinness right now.
Oh, well, that's true. And so one of the big books coming out is called Batman Three Jokers, and it's being written by Jeff Johns with Jason Fabok. Is that how you pronounce it? Fabok? And they're saying that Three Jokers is the definitive Red Hood story. Fabok also states that Three Jokers will be three 50-page issues released monthly due by the end of the year.
That's cool.
What's that going to cost per issue?
That's expensive.
Because it falls under the Black Label prestige books too. So you're probably talking $25, maybe $30 for a book.
Well, I hope not. I was thinking 10, which is still too much. But man, I don't know. Jeff Johns has been hyping this thing for like, I want to say 3-4 years now.
Yeah,
talking about this Three Jokers thing. Do they reveal anything? Like, do we know what that actually means, the Three Jokers, or is that still kind of incognito?
The only thing I've seen is basically they showed that they're from three different timelines or something like that. Like, they have a picture and they released some drawings of them. So like Joker 1, Joker 2, Joker 3, and they actually have like with coats and without coats or whatever, and it's. I guess one is from The Killing Joke, one's the original Joker, and one's the classic 60s Joker.
Yeah, I don't know about this. Like, I like Jeff Johns as a writer, but I don't know about this Three Jokers thing.
I am completely out of the loop at this point. I really have to go back to the comic store. Is this like part of the Blue Man Group thing? I mean, the Dr. Manhattan? Is this Dr. Manhattan related? I mean,
it could be.
It seems like it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. It definitely feels that way.
Because I think they kind of put all the new Superboy Prime punching the wall of reality is Dr. Manhattan messing with stuff. So, I don't know. I guess until we. Issue 1. I don't think nobody knows
us. Yeah, we don't know. But he's going to keep hyping it until it comes out, right?
Got to make that cheddar.
Yes, you do. Uh-huh. And of course, the other thing is to celebrate Batman's 80th birthday, Detective Comics number 1000 comes out March 27th. I don't know.
That's 1,000. Hey, that's something, right? I mean,
but is it actually 1,000? Because like they've started renumbering a few times. They've started and stuff.
I believe that it's been, when you're considering all of the, it does the Marvel math where it loops everything back in.
Uh huh.
I believe that it is 1,000 issues, not direct, but okay. After the starts and stops and all that, I think they can at least justify it close to it. So yeah. I don't know, I'm not a big variant cover guy, but some of these variant covers floating around look pretty damn awesome, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, they look great. I don't know what they're going to do because, is it going to be a whole new story? Is it going to be, because I think it's going to be an anthology of a few stories. But the last time they did this, it was like two old stories and one new story, if I remember correctly.
I think they're going to do a few new stories, new art, new creative teams, and then I believe they're going to start Detective Number One, maybe in the next issue.
Okay. Yeah, I'll probably pick it up because I'm a sucker for Batman, and I like those kind of books, so I'll probably be picking that one up.
I'll get them.
DC got my money this time. All right. So to finish out our DC talk this week, I think John and I would like to give a spoiler-free review of Shazam.
I'm going to leave. I'll see you guys next time.
So I was going to say, it's up to you if you want to stay on or not, JD.
I'm peacing out. It's been fun. It's been real.
Spoiler free.
See you guys next. I don't want to know. I want to know nothing. I need to know nothing. I'll see you guys next week.
All right.
See you, man.
See ya.
Safe driving.
So what was your initial thought when you got out of the theater?
I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I remember thinking in one or two places that maybe there was a plot point here or two that caught me up, but it wasn't that kind of movie. This is literally just a popcorn, let your inner child flag fly and just enjoy the movie. And, I had fun. They did it really well. I liked it.
It was, I said this when I got out of theater, and the more I think about it, I still feel this way. This was the best DC movie since The Dark Knight.
Wait. Oh God. Oh God, this is the best DC movie. Oh God, no.
I would put it up there with, I would say the top three DC movies are The Dark Knight, the first Superman, the 1978 Superman.
Right. Wow, we have to go back to 1978. Oh, wow.
Really,
not Wonder Woman? Not Wonder Woman?
No, I would put Wonder Woman just under this.
Snyder's ending. Right?
Exactly, because of Zack Snyder's ending. If they hadn't screwed up the ending that way, I probably would put Wonder Woman maybe slightly above this. But, trying to be spoiler-free, there was a theme to the movie. There was a definite character arc for the main hero. And it stuck to that, and it was consistent through the whole movie of, definitely the story they were trying to tell. And it was
a pretty good bad guy.
Oh, yeah. No,
I
definitely.
Mean, this is a bad guy with a backstory. mean that you can feel for the bad guy, too?
Yes. It was just, I'm trying to think. So, Zachary Levi, let's start with that.
He's just a large child anyway.
But here's the thing. Like, there was a lot of comments. I'm guilty of this. I made fun of the way the suit looked, when it came out. The previews, looked good and talking to JD, I got excited for the movie, but there wasn't anything in it was like, yeah, I definitely got to go see it. And then, Zachary Levi was the perfect choice to play this character. For the direction they went with him, it works, I think, on a lot of levels.
Well, yeah, like I said, he's a really big kid. And you could tell he was enjoying himself when he was doing this and really getting into the moment during some of the scenes.
And here's something else, and I don't really think this is a spoiler, The kid who plays the young Billy Batson, Asher Angel, like, I kind of felt like, I was worried, are they going to pull the trick where it's like, he becomes Shazam and then he's really Shazam for most of the movie and only turns into the kid maybe one time? But no, there's a balance between him being the kid and being Shazam. And both of them do a really good job of playing that character, you know? And then you were saying, Mark Strong, who plays Dr. Thaddeus, Savannah, who is our main villain, like, oh, it was so good. And like,
he had a reason for being the way he was.
Yes. Yes. He had a reason for it. It made sense. It parallels the hero's journey, to a point, which makes sense. And then they just, and then they had fun with it, right? So, I didn't read the Shazam reboot, that happened in the early 2000s, right? But somebody I know said that it mirrored the comics in a lot of ways, except the main villain in the reboot was Black Adam. But other than that, there's a lot of things that are the same. So they utilized the seven deadly sins in the movie, and, at least that was also in the book. But where was I going with this?
I don't know.
So it mirrors it, but exactly, like, so he gets that power, which is the evil counterpart to Shazam's power, you know, and it works really well. Like, I don't know.
They gave him a real reason. Like, you can logically look at him and say, yeah, that's the way I'd feel too. Not going to say why yet because no spoilers, but you know, he's in there and you know, he's got a reason. So,
I was pleasantly surprised who played his father in the movie.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if that's known or not. So I'm not going to say. I'm trying to see if he's in the cast list.
No, I'm not seeing it.
Okay. And, so yeah, he was a good choice. It's the only thing I'll say. My friend who decided not to go last minute, has a young daughter. And even though there's not blood and gore in the movie, there are some things that are a little intense.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And he has a 5-year-old, so it might be a little intense for like younger kids.
Oh no, there were a couple of scenes where I kind of cringed and I'm like, whoa, this got, I didn't think they were going to make Shazam dark, and they didn't, but they also did not pull any punches.
Right, right.
Like, they did. People die in this.
And this might be why the movie works so well is this is the first, and it's also, I think, why Wonder Woman works, is the hero is light and good-hearted, and the villain is dark and evil, and they're a parallel of each other. And you know what I'm saying? They balance each other out in that sense, you know? So you're rooting for the good guy because the bad guy is so bad.
Right. Now, I'm not saying there's like blood splatter or anything, but there are points where it's going to take you by surprise just how brutal it seems. Besides that, there are a couple of surprises in here that we can't talk about because it's spoiler free, but suffice to say that when you go, there's going to be a time or two where they're going to start a scene and you're going to say, holy crap, really?
This is tough to say. There is a really cool twist at the end that I was shocked that they put into the first movie. And anyone listening to this who hasn't seen the movie yet, if you've seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And we're not talking the after credits or mid credit scenes. We're talking about the actual plot line of the end of the movie.
Yes. But it works so well that you accept it. Like, yeah, I can see that. I like that. I love that twist at the end. So yeah, I just, I can't, I don't want to give anything away.
I know. All right. It's not dark. You do laugh quite a few times in this movie, and there were times when the entire audience laughed. And it wasn't forced laughter. It was your good old belly jocular laugh. I mean, the movie had some really fun points. The acting was on point. The effects were pretty damn good.
Speaking of effects, okay, I did not, again, so like I said, I didn't read the Shazam reboot. So I didn't know, this is not a spoiler, because if you're a fan of the comic, you're going to know this already. I didn't realize that in this iteration of Shazam, the story takes place in Philadelphia. And so maybe because I'm a Philly boy and I love my city, that was one of the things that that really spoke to me in the movie. However, this is not a spoiler. There is a scene that involves a bus, a SEPTA bus, and whoever was in charge of the prop department didn't bother going online and looking up what the SEPTA logo actually looks like, which it wasn't correct. But yet the weird thing is, in scenes later on where they actually filmed in Philly, there's buses going by.
Yeah.
That, you know, and they're actual SEPTA buses. So it was like, really? Like, that was just my only real complaint about the movie. You couldn't have taken 5 extra minutes to look up the logo before you created the prop bus.
Oh, but they did get one thing right. There was, and I'll tell you, it's interesting. I mean, normally you see in like Marvel movies, you'll see like New York with, you know, they have to put like the Baxter Building in there or, well, the Baxter Building is usually just like, I don't know, the Sears Tower or something like that. I mean, but they'll put in, Avengers or, Tony Stark's building.
Right.
And, and it's weird to see this guy like that. So they did put the company run by what's his name's father in there. And it was weird to see that building trying to fit in a place where, you know, there really wasn't a building like that.
Yes.
I don't know if they reskinned it, but it didn't look real to me, we're both from Philly. There was one fight that took out a Philadelphia landmark. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes, yes. So, if you're from Philly and you see this,
actually took out two landmarks in one.
And true that. Yeah, that's right. So, one right next to where I used to work too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
They made full use of a lot of landmarks in there. There were a couple of scenes that were in there were a couple of scenes where they were right there on the steps of the museum.
Right. It was funny too, because I'm like, is that a set? You know,
no, it's not.
And they have the camera look down JFK Boulevard, and it's like, oh wow, you know.
And they talk about the Rocky statue, which no longer is there, and it was pretty good.
Lightning hands. Hands. Oh, sorry. That might be a spoiler.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a spoiler.
Really. So we'll probably talk about the movie again after JD sees it.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do. Let's give a score now and see if we change our minds after we talk to JD.
Okay. All right. I'm up for that.
So you can go first. Just, you know, a score and, you know, what can you recommend it to people or not? And, you know.
Yeah. I'm thinking about this and I'll give it 9 lightning hands. There you go. It really is fun. Now, there are several types. I feel like there's like several types of quote unquote good movies. So there's the ones that are intense and tell a hard story and are really, you know, you walk out of there just emotionally drained. There's the popcorn ones where you just go in there and just have a really good time and watch it. And it's, you know, you come out feeling, you know, better about the world. This is that latter one. Just make sure you get a large popcorn when you get in there. You don't take your really young kids to it, but you know, anybody over like, I don't know, 9, what do you think? Maybe, but just, it's good. It's good fun. You don't really have to worry about it. The plot is done well enough where there's nothing that's going to jar you and you're going to laugh. And it's, yeah, just go see it. I'm literally going to give a DC movie a 9. Wow. So, I forget what I gave Wonder Woman, but it might have been a 9.
I think I gave it an 8, Wonder Woman. Again, because of the Zack Snyder end of fight.
Yeah, and that's the only reason I wouldn't have given it anything. I couldn't have given it anything higher than a 9. I'll have to go back in the records and see. But yeah, this one did not. This one, the ending was really good.
So we're going to iterate. Like, and again, it's not bloody or gory. It's just the villain.
Brutal.
The villains are a little brutal and intense, and it will probably scare small kids. So, like, that's the only downside. I kind of feel like the movie has a strong, and this is not a spoiler in any way. And anyway, the movie has a strong, story about family that radiates through the entire movie. And, you know, like, that spoke volumes to me. Again, the fact that it takes place in Philly, maybe I liked it more because of that. I don't know. In fact, a friend of mine said when he saw the one trailer, he's like, I think they're on the L. And I'm like, no, I don't. You would have heard if they filmed this in Philly. And it was like, no, they were on the L. So yeah, like, I'm gonna echo your score. I'm gonna give it a 9. Like, if I would put The Dark Knight at a perfect 10 comic book movie, this is a close at a 9.
Well, these be the end times because we actually agreed on something.
Not only we agreed, we gave high marks to a DC movie.
Oh my gosh. And, well, you know, that must be a plague of locusts outside. I'm telling you.
Well, and here's a funny thing, right? I wanted to say this. I forgot. We got out of the theater, right? I said, wow, that was good. I enjoyed that. Probably more than Captain Marvel. My son turned to me at 16 years old. I mean, he's going to be 17 next month, but he turns to me and he goes, well, yeah. Because Captain Marvel was just to justify, they just did Captain Marvel to justify having her in Endgame, where this was a good standalone movie. And I'm like, I've raised you well.
Oh, I wouldn't. I don't agree with that at all. I think Captain Marvel was a good one all in of itself. It just so happens that the Marvel universe is so comprehensive that anything you put, any movie you put on now with any random hero is going to be, quote unquote, to advance the major plot. There's no way around that now, but it's still a good movie on its own.
So I kind of think, oh, and that was the other thing I noticed at the beginning of the movie. And JD's not here, and he's the one that would usually know this stuff, that it wasn't just Warner Brothers. It was DC Films and New Line Cinema. It wasn't Warner Brothers. So, like, I mean, they had the WB logo, but it was really New Line Cinema that put this together, which is owned by Warner Brothers. I know they're a subsidiary. I don't think they've done any of the other Marvel movies. Mm-hmm. I say you take the creative team that did this movie and you put them in charge of the DCEU. It was that good. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, I have no regrets of loving this movie. And I highly recommend, if you have not seen it yet, I hope we haven't spoiled it for you, go and check this movie out. It is worth it. Let's have this be the biggest opening weekend for a DC movie ever.
Aside from the one they just had.
Well, yeah, I don't know. Again, I don't know how they're going to count that. They're not even talking about that with the opening weekend prediction. So yeah, they probably won't really count it towards it.
You think, but you don't know.
We'll see. So, I think that's a good place to end it for this week, unless you have anything else you'd like to add, Johnny.
Just two little things, if you don't mind.
Oh, that's right. You did say
we've
that.
We've been following two Kickstarters, and it's kind of funny because we've interviewed a great number of artists and authors and people that have done Kickstarters, and we always hear how hard they are and how much work it is to get yourself to a good goal and make sure you make that goal. And the two Kickstarters that we that we've been following are only halfway through, and both of them are like over like 500% funded. So like there's the one by Caitlin Smith and Dirk Manning for Hope Volume 1, which is a comic book that they were floating around a while back, and this is going to be a big book of Hope number 1 through 6. And their pledge or their goal was 7,777 because Dirk is weird. And they are now at 22,445. And you should go and fund that, because if you go there and you, were you a copy of the book, just think of all of the stretch goals that they've met, which means that the money you spend is going to be worth a lot more now than it would have been if you had funded the beginning. So, that's the Hope Volume. Just do a Google search for Kickstarter Hope Volume 1 and maybe Dirk Manning and you'll find it. And, you know, there's that one. And then now this was probably cheating. Second, Kickstarter that we've been following is by Kit Steele. And she's a artist that we've seen at quite a few shows, and she did these tea dragons, and her Kickstarter is Tea Dragons Whimsy and Watercolor. Now her goal was $2,000, and she's at $13,575. Again, that this may not count as much because she's got all her pointers from Dirk, but on the bright side, her tea dragons are just awesome. It's a book, a compilation of all 31 of her tea dragons, all these prints that she's done, where the backgrounds of every one of these prints was done in the tea that's featured in the print. So she brewed 31 different flavors of tea to get them just right, so that she could make the background color of each one of these. And the dragons are just they're just adorable. Each print is a different tea. So, and again, it's same thing. Her goal was 2,000. She's up to 13,000. If you buy the book at this, if you go and pledge your money for this book, you're going to get a hell of a lot more now because of all the stretch goals that have been met. So I guess everybody says these Kickstarters are so hard. All right, let me follow these two. Well, that doesn't look so hard at all.
Let's be honest. They're doing so well because we've been promoting them. They know
that's obviously it. Right.
Dirk knows.
It has nothing to do with both of them doing a road show for the last month at
they
were in Chicago.
Dirk, if you're listening, you know you owe it to us. So when we see you at the next con, you know, you're buying us dinner.
Yeah. I'll just take the book. I've been waiting. You know, I've been waiting for this Hope book since I first read the issue. They were floating over a year ago at Great Philly Comic Con, which is coming up.
Again. So I'll be honest. Once they hit the stretch goal where they're all hardcover now, I went and pledged after that. Cause like, okay, I can't, I was like, oh, I'll just wait and pick it up at a con. And I'm like, no, I want a hardcover.
Yeah, and that's what you're getting now. Just like really quickly, like the stretch goals for Hope, right? They've already got all the Volume 1 books are upgraded to a Kickstarter exclusive hardcover. You'd also get a book plate signed by Dick Manning and Caitlin Smith.
Dirk Manning. You forgot the R.
I know. I'm trying to read through all this stuff here. And I'm tired. So, you can get for an extra $10, you can get a final boss pin. And they also met, they're at 22,000 now. They're about to make another one for crying out loud. And they also get, and this is a dual announcement. You will also get free a Hope Number 1 Comic Book Day comic with your hardcover. And that free comic book day, comic is going to be, at any of the stores. That'll be the free comic book day comic at the comic book shops. come, was it May?
Yes.
Free comic book day in May. So
it's always the first weekend in May, I believe.
So there's that. And with the Kickstarter for Kit, you've got, you're getting like a free print of her video mascot. You're getting, process pages added. You get a foil cover and a file print, a print of the final cover artwork. You're getting a free T-Dragon coloring book PDF, 3 T-Dragon art prints. This is all if you sign up for the book now, you're getting that because these are the stretch goals that have already been met. So it's crazy, you know?
Just like you.
Yes, I am crazy.
So yeah, no, I think it's cool. And I mean, John and I both love the Hope book, so you guys really should at least check that out.
I'm going to start a Kickstarter. I want to see one fail.
And John is addicted to tea and dragons, so you know that's.
Well, yeah, that was kind of a perfect one. But the Hope, I'm excited about both of them. I mean, yeah. You know, these are things the dragons were the October challenge that Kit drew last year at last year's New York Comic Con. So I got to see some of them being made, and it's pretty cool.
Cool. All right. So before we wrap it up, I also want to just tell our listeners, if they're still listening after your rant there. sorry. Don't forget Podcoin. Download the app, and if you use the code HEROSPEAK, you will get 3,000 Podcoins. For signing up using our promo code. And next week, boys and girls, is going to be a ginormous show. It's a shame that JD signed off because he's usually my hype man. It is going to be our 300th episode, and we have a spectacular celebration planned for it, and we definitely hope you tune into that because it'll be a good one. We got some surprises. We might have a surprise guest or two. Pandemonium, who knows? It's going to be nuts. So don't forget, check that out next week. Until then, boys and girls, as always, thanks for listening. Don't let your cake get caught in the door. Have a good week.